study in God's Word this morning again is from the book of James, chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 20 through 26 this morning. The book of James, chapter 2, and reading from verse 20 to the end of the chapter. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's ask for God's grace as we study his word. Father, your testimonies are wonderful. And so this morning we resolve to keep them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. And we come and confess that we are but simple people in need of your instruction. And so turn to us. Be gracious to us. Keep our steps according to your promises. Let no iniquity get dominion over us. Redeem us from every form of oppression that we may keep your precepts. Make your face to shine upon us this morning. Teach us your statutes. Father, cause your word to dwell richly within us. And as Ken has prayed, help us not just to be hearers, but doers of your word. And we pray this for the glory of Jesus Christ and in his name. Amen. The German reformer Martin Luther said it several times in one way or another, and then John Calvin, as a second generation reformer, a Swiss reformer, picked it up and repeated it, and Bible teachers today continue to say it in talking about our faith in Christ. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. And this is the very thing that God, through James, is telling us this morning. James begins with faith alone in the person of Christ alone. I pointed out as we went through those verses, the importance of verse 1 of chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. That is the foundation of everything that James now goes on to say about the relationship, the dynamic of faith and works. It begins with faith alone in the person of Christ alone. As Christians, we receive and rest upon a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our salvation. But James's point is that in this life of faith, we must never practice favoritism. As we receive Christ, as we rest upon Christ, we're not to have that faith and at the same time be partial toward people, giving preference to those who have money or being prejudiced against those who don't have money or are disadvantaged in some way. Do not practice partiality. Instead, our faith must show itself in acts of love and mercy toward all of our neighbors. Verse 8, if you really fulfill the law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. you are doing well. There must never be a disconnect between our faith in Christ and our love for others. If there is a disconnect between faith and works, then James says you're no better than a demon. Verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Demons, talked about this last Sunday, demons are not atheists. They know that God is real. They even fear God. They shudder. But what makes them demons is they believe God is there, but they don't do what God says. James says, this is a demon. Don't be a demon. Instead, he's going to go on and say, be like Abraham and be like Rahab. Two very different people, both saved by faith alone, but a faith that proves its reality by a response of obedience. And so let's listen to what James has to say about a working faith. Once again, James begins with a question, as he does so often. Verse 20, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Now, James is using some strong language. You foolish person, you senseless person. But James is not being rude. He's trying to get us to understand the seriousness of this question, of the situation that he's describing here in chapter 2. He said it earlier in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? And so this is a question about salvation. This goes right to the heart of the gospel. James uses the little word faith. Now, like Paul, James can refer to our faith or trust in Christ as embracing the person of Christ and receiving him and resting upon him. But James can also turn right around and use the word faith in the sense of what we would call head knowledge. You just believe it in your head. You just know something in your head. You're not actually resting or trusting. James has just said that the demons have that kind of faith. That kind of faith saves no one. That kind of faith only involves the head and not the heart, and it certainly doesn't involve the hands and the feet. Someone with that kind of faith doesn't do anything. And James again uses the little word works. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? And a little bit different from what Paul would be addressing, James is not thinking primarily about like sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper, worship, prayer, things like that, works like that. James is really thinking about what involves doing good, obedience to God, loving your neighbor, showing mercy to those who are in need. Chapter 1, verse 27. This is true religion, James says. Religion is that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. James now says that this kind of faith without this kind of works is useless. It's idle, inactive. It's a do-nothing faith. It's one that is lifeless, fruitless, empty, hollow, dead. You say something, but you don't do anything. Useless because it cannot and it will not save anyone. It doesn't save demons. It's not going to save you. And so at this point, perhaps we're thinking, okay, James, you've told us what it's not. What is saving faith? What is it that you're thinking about? What is it that you're talking about? You've told us what it's not. Can you show us what it is? Can you give us a picture of real, saving faith? A working faith. One that does save. One that both trusts and obeys. And James says, I'll give you not just a example, I'll give you two examples. Two very different pictures. Both of these are taken from the Bible. Father Abraham and a prostitute named Rahab. Very different pictures. A man and a woman. Not just any man, but this is the most respected man that you find in the Old Testament, one that is called a friend of God. And not just any woman, but someone that nobody respected. This is a woman who was used and abused by men, a Hebrew and a Gentile, a godly man and a woman of the world, a mature believer, a man who had walked 30 plus years with God in faith, and then a brand new convert to the faith. And so let's begin with Father Abraham, verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Father Abraham, our father, Abraham, James says. He's the father of all who believe, whether they're Jewish or whether they're Gentiles. Paul uses this name twice. He uses it in Romans 4 and in Galatians 3, the father of all who believe. And so James is agreeing with Paul that it, you know, we're talking about not just the Jew who believes in Christ, but also the Gentile who believes in Christ. This is our Father. This Father Abraham proved the reality of his faith by offering up his son Isaac on the altar. The story from Genesis proves that Abraham's faith was not a dead faith. God had promised Abraham a son. A son that was going to be born through Sarah. And from that one son, God promised to bless all of the nations of the earth. And Abraham believed that promise. Abraham had faith. But if Abraham just sat in his tent thinking about God and the promise and believing that promise and never got up and went out and took his son and went up into the mountain, it would prove that his faith was not real, that it was useless, it was empty, it was hollow, it was a dead faith. When Abraham acted upon his faith, it proved the reality of his faith. But his action is not what saved him. Abraham was saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and not by doing anything. His works simply proved that his faith was real and that his works of obedience were flowing out of a man who was already in a right relationship with God. It's at this point we have the pop quiz. Chapter 2, verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Where in the book of Genesis, do we find that quote? Genesis 15. The questions get harder. In what chapter do we find the offering up of Isaac? It's Genesis 22. 15 to 22. Isaac wasn't even born until chapter 21. God declared Abraham to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ long before Abraham went to the mountain and offered up his son. And even before that, we can go back to Genesis 12 and read about that account where God effectually calls Abraham out of being the life in a life of a pagan and calls him to be his friend and to walk with him and to be blameless. And so James is not talking here about Abraham getting saved. When he's talking about Abraham as an example of faith, this is not Abraham getting saved or his initial justification. James is simply offering one of many examples that he could offer of how Abraham's faith was a working faith, a real faith, not dead, not useless. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. Now, the prostitute Rahab, verse 25. And in the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? In the same way. I mean, stop and think about that. What amazing grace. In the same way. James is elevating this immoral, sinful, pagan, Gentile woman, and James is putting her in the very same light as Father Abraham. They're very different people in many ways, but James says they're no different in this. They're both in the same way, both right with God and both friends of God. In the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute justified by works? And again, her story in the Old Testament clearly shows that her heart had already been won over by God and that new life had been created in her. Joshua chapter 2, I'll just read a few verses. Joshua sends two spies into the land. They're going to Jericho. Rahab lives in the city. She welcomes the spies. She hides them. And then she comes and explains to them why she has done this. Joshua 2, beginning at verse 8. Before the men lay down, Rahab came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, hesed, covenant kindness, loveness, loving kindness, swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with me and with my family." I mean, this is like a Sunday night testimony, right? She's standing up and she's saying, this is what has happened to me. This is why I've done what I've done. I'm not just being a traitor to my country here. I've been impressed with what I've heard. And so I'm acting in a way that is in line with this God that I've now come to know. She says, "I know that the one true living God of heaven is at work here." Here's a pagan who has now come to the knowledge of God, the God who created her. For I have heard what he is doing. Faith comes from what? Hearing. Romans 10:17. For I have heard what God is doing, the mighty acts of God. We have heard it and our hearts melted. You know, God's truth quickly went from her head into her heart. Her heart melted. She was repenting. She was being converted. And that's why she acted and why she took the slaves, hid them, and then helped them to escape. Her faith proved its reality by doing something. In the same way as Abraham. Abraham was saved, Rahab was saved by grace alone through faith alone, and her faith was proved real by her acts of love and mercy. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. Now, with both of these stories from the Old Testament, what we're seeing is not two people getting saved for the first time. That's the error that you make if you just jump into James at that point and don't take the whole of Scripture. This is not a picture of two people just getting saved for the first time. These are not two people who are being saved by works. They are not being saved by faith plus works. They are both saved by God's sovereign grace alone, through faith alone. And what James wants us to see is two saved people who are proving the reality of their faith by the way that they live. They are doing good. They are obeying God. They are loving their neighbor. Their faith is not useless. It's not dead. Their faith is doing something. They're both trusting and obeying the God of grace who had called them into fellowship with himself. Now, what does God want us to take away from all of this? Just four brief things. You and I are saved by God's grace alone. What moves God to save us, to save anyone, is nothing except his sovereign will and good pleasure. He takes the initiative. He chooses, he decides that he's going to be favorable and good to us and to bless us, those who don't deserve a thing. Our life in God is not the reward or payment for something that we do or can do. It is by grace. It's all of grace and grace alone. Secondly, you and I are saved through faith alone. Faith is the only means by which we get connected to God. It's the instrument. It's the means by which God uses to get his grace and mercy from him to us. It comes through the channel of faith. The Holy Spirit creates this faith within us, enabling us to embrace Christ and all that he is and all that he has for us. Don't ever think of your works as things that you have to do to kind of persuade God to love you a little bit more. Even religious works, baptism, the Lord's Supper, prayer, worship, even the works that James is talking about, doing good, loving your neighbor, never think of those things as, I've got to do these things so that God will somehow be persuaded to overlook my faults and that he will love me and eventually save me. That's the very thing the reformers were arguing against. It's not your works. It's not what you're doing to try to merit some kind of favor from God. All you do is simply take God at his word. You believe his promises. You receive his grace. You receive his son through faith alone. And so thirdly, you and I are saved by Christ alone. Don't ever forget verse 1 of chapter 2. Not a pew Bible, but your own Bible. Put a circle around verse 1. You can write in your Bible. Because that verse is so key. It's the beginning of his discussion of faith and works. You know, don't have partiality as you hold your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And so all the good that God has for us, his grace, the gift of faith, his promises, the forgiveness of our sins, eternal life, all of this is found only in his Son, Jesus Christ. Abraham and Rahab both saw by faith the day of Christ. They saw it and they rejoiced in it. They could see that God was providing a redeemer. And so doing good, loving your neighbor, showing mercy, obeying God's law does not save you. We are saved by a person who is dead, and a person who is no longer dead, a living person who is raised up in heaven, a real person who is alive today, the one who loves us and has set us free from our sins by his blood. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. And again, Jesus said, I am the way, both the truth and the life. It's not I came to show you the way. It's not I came to tell you the truth. What does he say? I am the way, both the truth and the life. And so believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then fourth and finally, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, so that we would do good works, that we would live a life of goodness. We are saved not just to get things from God, we are saved to do things. We are called to love God with all that is within us, love our neighbor as ourselves. We are called to obey God, to follow Christ, to show mercy, to bear good fruit. And so Luther, Calvin, Paul, Peter, James, they all said it in one way or another. And this is what God himself is saying to us today through James. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. Our faith is a working faith. Let's pray. Father, always help us to make this very clear distinction, and that we would not fall into error on either side of just having head knowledge but no works, or just having works and having no real faith in you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that all through life we will be attacked, and we will hear false teachers, and we will hear those who will try to persuade us one way or the other. We will even hear our own hearts tugging at us one way or the other to get us off of the straight, narrow way that leads right to you. By your grace, hold us in that place. Help us to understand. Help us to, again, reflect upon people like Abraham and Rahab, indeed all of those who are listed in Hebrews 11, examples of people who by faith did something. Help us to always keep that picture of faith before us. And by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, by our union with Christ, enable us to have the same kind of working faith that brings glory and honor to you. And we pray this in Christ's name.